Amen. Such an honor and privilege to be here this morning with you, looking for the Lord to help us. Amen. Might have a few difficulties this morning with the facilities, but that's all right. That ain't going to stop us from having the move of God, will it, I hope? Amen. Appreciate Brother and Sister MacDonald allowing us to be here. We have something in common with the church here in that my pastor has the same last name as your pastor. Amen. They're kind of from the same bloodline. Isn't that something? So it's an honor to be here. And I tell you what, I enjoyed last night's service so much. I had never heard Brother Tinsley preach before. And he just, he outdone himself. And just stirred my heart and really helped me last night. And we had a wonderful service. God really helped us. Praise God. We're looking for the Lord to move this morning. Amen. Amen. Got something on my heart, and I'd like to preach to you if the Lord would help us. We're from off the coast, out of Alabama. I go to church in Mississippi, but I'm an Alabama boy. I was born and raised there, and 100%, you could get papers on me. Amen. Full-blood Alabama boy. So, and I know you're as proud of Arkansas as I am of Alabama. We got one thing in common. We both start with the letter A. And that's about as much as I've seen in common on some things. Amen. But I found out Arkansas is a wonderful place. It really is. And we've enjoyed preaching throughout the state so far. And we'd like God to help us this morning. Book of Ruth this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with us there. Book of Ruth, the second chapter. Second chapter of Book of Ruth. It's good to see Sister Casey again this morning. Her and Sister Kathy fed us last night, and it was wonderful. Wonderful chili, and had some Mexican cake, or what was that, Sister Kate? Ma'am? Mexican wedding cake. Well, I ain't never had any of that before, but it was good. So my wife, she was taking the cookies off the table before me and Brother MacDonald could eat any of them. She was cleaning up. We finally got us one or two of them, though. Second chapter of the book of Ruth, first verse. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Amen. That's what I want to preach from this morning, if the Lord would help us. Would you pray with us? Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for your divine mercy. Looking to you, Lord, to help us as we minister, God. Anoint us, guide us, Lord, and lead us in this service, I pray, and move among your people. Believe in you, God, to move in the altar service. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we're praying, standing on your word, trusting in your might and power. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen and amen. I'd like to talk to us a little while this morning, if the Lord would help us, on gleaning. Praise God, gleaning. To glean means to gather leavings, to collect little by little. And Ruth was an expert at gleaning, for you see, she had been gleaning her life back together for some months. She had recently lost her husband. Not only had she lost her husband, but she had also moved to a strange foreign country. And in that country, she was not a welcome visitor, for she was considered an outcast, a heathen in a sense. And so it wasn't like they opened up the doors and rolled out the red carpet and gave her the key to the city and told her that everything was all right.
She was one that was up against the wall, if you would. And it seems like in the day and hour we're living in, sometimes our lives seems like it finds it molding and shaping to the life that Ruth was in during that time. Lives shattered to pieces, and seems like even though we're saved sometimes and we think it ought not happen to us, we find out that we too find our lives shattered and trouble hits us. And often we find ourselves like a puzzle that's laid on a table and many pieces scattered on top of that table, and we're ever trying to find how to put it back together. You ever been there? Trying to get your act back together and your life seemingly back to the way it ought to be. And that's the way Ruth was during this time. She was trying to get her life gleaned back together and get her life back on course. I want you to know gleaning is a type of harvest, but it's very much different from harvesting. Amen. I pastored a church in Alabama for about 3.5 years, and it was in rural Alabama, and a lot of farming went on there. Brother was teaching Sunday school this morning, and they planted gardens. Everybody in the church planted gardens, and I believe some of them could have actually bought the food cheaper than what they were paying to get it planted. I mean, honestly, but they loved to plant gardens. And during that time, I got a phone call one morning, and a lady out of the church said, "Brother Johnson, I want you to come and get all the peas out of my field you want." Said, "We've got all we want out of it, so you can have what's left." So I went, and she wasn't wrong, brother. She had done got all she wanted. I got in that field with my 5-gallon bucket, brother, and I went down one row and back up another row and back down another row. And by the time I got to the end of that whole field, Brother Shad, I finally got a 5-gallon bucket full. Brother, that's gleaning. Amen. I mean, when she said they'd got all they wanted, they really had got just about the whole field. But there was a boy down the road from where we pastored at, I mean about 0.5 mile from the parsonage. He called me up. He said, "Brother Johnson," said, "I got about 0.5-acre field of purple hull peas. You ever eat any of them?" Yeah. Woo, with some cornbread. Amen. Oh, you didn't shake your head on cornbread, but I like cornbread. It likes me too. But anyhow, he told me, said, his name Charles Tyson. He said, "Come down, preacher, and get all the peas you want." So I got in my little truck and got my bucket and drove down there, and he hadn't touched that field hardly any. Brother, I mean, it was loaded. I mean, just hanging with purple hull peas. I got out on one row, and about 10 feet later, I done had a 5-gallon bucket full. About all I wanted to shell, so I went back home. Brother, that's harvesting. Amen. I said, that's harvesting. Praise God. That's the way it happens sometimes when you come to the house of God, isn't it? You'll walk in the church service, and I mean, you'll sing "I'll Fly Away" 90 to nothing, and seems like nothing's moving, and you glean just a little bit out of it. You glean a little bit out of the testimony services and out of the preaching and out of everything that's going on in the house of God. And when the last amen said, you say, "Well, I finally may have got a 5-gallon bucket full." But brother, then there's times I've come in the house of God before, and I mean, you didn't say amen good. You didn't say hallelujah good. And the power of God was falling and the glory of God was moving. That's harvest, brother. I said, that's harvest time. But I want you to know something. It's the gleaning times that's going to see you through. Amen. I said, it's the gleaning times that's going to see you through. It ain't many times when the power's going to fall no sooner than you get in the house of God. But all for the times when I'm reaching out and fighting and trying to get just a little bit to help me to make it through this week. Praise the Lord. Been several times I come to the house of God. And I mean, I was gleaning, trying to get something from Him. I needed something from God. And all by the time the last amen was said on Sunday night, seemed like I just got enough to make it through to Wednesday night. Come to Wednesday night service, brother, and I'm fighting and struggling, trying to get help. And all that I do and say, by the time I'm in the service, I barely get enough to make it back through to next Sunday morning. Brother, I've been through that, hadn't you? That's where Ruth was. She was gleaning out a livelihood. Brother, she was down and out, if you will, trying her best to make it. But in all her effort, all that she'd done, it seemed like she barely could get enough to get by. I mean, never quite getting satisfied like she wanted to, but ever seeking and working and doing all she could for the presence and the livelihood of Almighty God, only to be disappointed and find out I'm going into a field to glean instead of harvesting. Come on now. Is that where you've been lately? Has it been like, hey, I barely got enough to make it to the next service? I mean, I hadn't got all that I want, but oh, I'm going to keep coming and I'm keep cleaning until I get everything that I need. Praise the Lord. Listen to me a few minutes, friend. Some would not have gave 2 cents for Ruth's chances. Listen to me now. That's the way it was when I got saved. I will not go into all of that what I faced as a sinner. But I lived a rough life. And the night I got saved, I believe, on a Tuesday night. It was February the 12th, 1990. And that night when I got saved, I was leaving out on a tugboat the next morning. I was working on a tugboat, 10-day hitch on work and 5 days off. And whenever I went to go to work that next morning, 4 o'clock, I left out of church that night, just gotten saved. My uncle, who was a deacon at the church where I got saved at, looked at someone when he found out I was leaving that next morning, and he told him, he said, he won't make it. He'll never make it. But he didn't understand something, friend. You got to glean to survive sometimes. Amen. I went on that tugboat, and I mean, it was hard. I must admit it. But I got on that tugboat, and the first thing I'd done when I got on there, the little cabin or the place where I slept at, the bunkhouse I slept in, I had to share it with another deckhand. And there was 3 of us that actually slept in that room, and 2 of us at a time, Brother Shad, the way the hitch rotated. When I walked in, the walls was literally covered with Playboy magazine pinups. I walked in that room and I folded them up. They didn't belong to me. They belonged to the other boys. I folded them up and put them in the closet. Sister Kathy hadn't made up a stir right to begin with. Just got saved. When I got off the tugboat, I was a cussing sinner. When I came back, I was a saint. They didn't like it either. Well, I folded them up, and I mean that ruffled some feathers. Insomuch the captain of the boat said, I don't want to see your Bible. If you can't look at what we put on the walls, we don't have to look at your Bible. That's what he told me. But I told him, I said, well, it's all right. I'll read the Bible when you're not looking at me. Come on now. Well, brother, I'm going to tell you something. It was hard, but you know how I made it through that 10-day hitch? I gleaned some things. I fasted 2 days on that 10-day hitch. I read the Bible every chance I got. I'd walk out on the front of that old tugboat, and I remembered songs I sung as a child in church, and I couldn't remember whole songs, so I'd piece them together and put words in, and none of the songs was accurate or right, but it didn't matter. All I knew is I wanted something from heaven. I'd lift my hands up and I'd begin to sing, and all in the middle of the night, looking up at the stars, I could feel heaven coming down, and I'd begin to glean a little touch of God in my life. Well, my uncle said, he ain't gonna make it, but when I stepped off that tugboat 10 days later, I was still saved. Come on now. Been saved 10 years already. Listen to me now. Going on my 11th year. And my daddy said just about 2 years ago, he told my baby brother, I've been preaching, done pastored a church or 3 churches and evangelizing already. And my daddy finally said, told my brother Rusty, he said, I think Bruce is going to make it. 8 years of living for God, he told my brother, he just might make it. Amen. I mean, had all them doubts and question marks. That's the way it was when they was looking at Ruth. Come on now. I wonder how many said about you, he ain't going to make it a month, or she ain't going to make it a year. But here you are. You done been saved 5 years. You done been saved 10 years or 20 years. Oh, they can't live holiness. They can't live right. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Keep on glinting. Keep on coming to the house of God. Keep on saying hallelujah. Keep on lifting your hands. There's a God in heaven that'll help you. I said, there's a God in heaven that'll help you. Come on. You ain't going to make it. Oh, yeah, you will. You'll make it. By God's help and grace, you'll make it. Just because they said you couldn't don't mean you can't. You hearing me? You can make it by the authority and power of the Son of God. You hear me? You can live right and you can live a victorious life. Oh yeah. The devil says you can't. And people around you will tell you You can't. But you must glean some things. Ruth, she gleaned some things. First of all, she gleaned some salvation. She said, thy people will be my people, and thy God will be my God. Whew. You remember that night whenever you gave everything up and said, you're my God. Come on now. And you gleaned a little salvation in your life. Well, that's what Ruth did. And not long she began to glean some bread, for she went into the field of Boaz and she took in something that would sustain her and keep her. I'm here to tell you, you can't live on John 3:16 forever. Come on now. I thank God for it, and we all can quote it. We can say it frontwards and backwards. And salvation is the most important thing that'll ever happen to you. But brother, after that you get saved, you can't live in that spot forever. You must get out and grow and be nurtured in the power and the ammunition of the power of God. Come on now. You can't live a backwards life all your life. You got to get saved, then get sanctified, then get full of God's good Holy Ghost. Come on now. And let the power of God help you grow. Woo! Amen. She gleaned some bread, then she gleaned a ministry. For she brought some bread home to her mother-in-law. Now, a lot of folk have different definitions and different thoughts of ministry. Some believe if you're not teaching a Sunday school class or preaching, you're not ministering. Wave at me. Praise God. Are you with me? That's what some folk believe. Come on now. They don't believe vacuuming carpets of ministry. They don't believe that. They don't believe cleaning the walls or cleaning the restrooms of ministry. They believe that's just something you do, but it's not, friend. It's a ministry. It's important that God's house be right when folk come in it. Come on now. It's important that God's house is right when people come in it. And if we'd put our heart into vacuuming like we ought to, it may not be long till we will be teaching a Sunday school class or preaching the gospel. Come on now. And you know, I saw some women that had such a great ministry. They wasn't a pastor's wife, or they wasn't a Sunday school teacher. But they could do so many things in the community. They could bake a cake and bring it to a neighbor's house and just say, I was thinking of you and wanted to let you know we loved you and wanted to let you know we wanted you to come to the house of God. Come on now. I mean, they didn't get much glory for that. They didn't get lifted up for it. But what a ministry it was. That's what Ruth did. She cleaned some things. And friend, if you're ever going to be successful, if you're ever going to be something, you're going to have to glean some things in the kingdom of heaven. Ruth left out that morning. She didn't know what field she was going to wind up in. She just said, I'm going to go out and glean. Kind of need a Ruth to help me this morning. And Sister Kathy don't mind, do you? Sister Kathy, come on. Jump on up here. She looks spunky this morning, don't she? Amen. So Sister Ruth stepped out the front door that morning and decided that she was going to go glean. Come on, Sister Ruth. Is your middle name Ruth? No. She looks happy, doesn't she? Praise God. You can stand right there. Just hold on a minute. We'll use you in a minute. Anyhow, she went out and decided she was going to glean. And the Bible said her hap was the light on a portion of a field that belonged to Boaz. Some would call it luck. Some would call it chance. But I want you to know to begin with, there is no such animal as luck. Come on now, that's like saying there is a unicorn, a white horse with a horn, or there is a Bigfoot. That's a myth. And luck is a myth. There is only the providence of God. You hear me? The only reason you're here right now is not by chance or luck. It's because God wanted you here. Come on now. Woo! But anyhow, she didn't happen upon that field in luck, but she got there because God wanted her there. Come on now. And about that time, Brother Boaz come on the scene. We need a Boaz. Let's find a Boaz. Better get Brother Shad, hadn't we? Amen. Come on, Brother Shad. Amen. Well, Brother Boaz come walking up. Come over here. Get away from her. You don't even know her yet. You just now getting to the field. Brother Boaz came up to the field and talked to the foreman of his job. Said, how's things going? Oh, Master Boaz, we got a bumper crop this year. He says, wait a minute. Who is that? And his foreman said, well, that's Ruth, the Moabitess, you know. Thy God will be my God, thy people, my people, so on. Really? Yeah. And old Boaz's heart went to pumping peanut butter. Whew. I mean, he had never seen nobody like Ruth. Woo! Come on now. He looked over there and he said, oh man, tell her she's eating dinner with me today. And so the foreman did, said, now you're going to eat dinner with Master Boaz. So he took her out to Taco Bell and fed her. And everything was going great, you know, and they started sparking a little bit. Is that what you call it over here in Arkansas? That's what we call it in Alabama in the old time way. They got to sparking, and oh, I mean, she just fell head over heels with him, and he fell head over heels with her, and everything was going good. But, you know, Boaz was kind of hard-headed, and he never would propose to her. It's hard for him to get on a knee and say, I love you, and will you marry me? And so one night, she came to him and laid down at his feet. That was type of proposal, you know. And so he woke up kind of startled and said, who is that? And she said, it's me, Ruth. And Boaz said, oh, it is. And his old heart went to fluttering again and said, what do you want? And they got to talking, and oh, man, happiness rang across the hillside, and they decided they was going to get married. Everything was going great. And about that time, he said, hold on a minute. There's a kinsman that's nearer kin to you than me. And he's got first chance at you. Oh, she went to crying. Can you cry, Sister Kathy? She went to crying. But Boaz, I love you. I don't want to marry him. Amen. Well, he said, I'll fix it. Don't worry. Don't worry, Miss Ruth. I'm going to fix it. So the next day he went to the gate of the city and he talked to that near kinsman. And he said, look here, buddy. Our cousin's going to sell some property. You want to buy it? I'll redeem it. I want it. I'll buy it. He said, okay, when's the wedding going to be? What wedding? Said, if you buy the land, you got to marry Ruth. The Moabitess? I can't marry her. Said, I'll mar my inheritance. He said, you sure? He said, yeah, give me your shoe. Amen. Give me your shoe, brother. I hope your feet don't stink. He said, give me your shoe. So he gave him his shoe. Here, take that. Don't smell it. Said, give me your shoe. So he got his shoe. And the deal was sealed.
That's right.
But you know, that man just did not know what he was throwing away. For it wasn't long till Boaz and Ruth had a child.
Yeah.
How many knows the name of that child?
Yeah.
Who knows the name of that child? His name was Obed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long till Obed had a son. Yeah. Who knows the name of that son? His name was Jesse.
Yeah.
And Jesse had a son that used to watch the flock.
Yeah.
What was his name?
David.
And all years later, David had an heir, and his name was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's the way folk are doing in our holiness churches. They come in and they hear the message of holiness, and they take their shoe off and throw it at us, and they say, I don't want that. I don't want to live right. I don't want to live like you're living. But here, let me tell you something, friend. I'm not in this thing because somebody made me to get in it. I live like I live because I want to live right. I chose to live like I'm living. You listen to me, friend. When I got saved, I got saved in Assembly of God Church. My roots were deep in the assemblies. I grew up, and that's all that I had ever known was Assembly of God. I could have easily went the path other brethren had went, and I could be right now sitting in a church that run 1,000 or 1,500 if I would have had opportunity. It's nothing to knock down $100,000 a year. But Brother Shad, that is not the course I chose. There was a hunger in my soul that transplanted me to Trinity, Pentecostal Tabernacle, a church with a voice of holiness. You hear me? And brother, I chose to live right. I said, I chose holiness. Independent folk did not choose me. I chose them. I wasn't born independent. You hear me? When I was birthed in the Assembly of God Church. But there's something inside of me wants to live right. And I sought out a people that live right. Come on now. You may not want it. That's all right. You may throw your shoe at us. And you may spit upon the way we live. That's all right. But friend, I'm going to live right. You hear me? I said, I'm going to live right because I want to live right. Let me preach to you a little while. Not only that, there's a lot of folk throw their shoes. Hold it, Sister Kathy. We ain't through with you. Amen. There's a lot of folk throw their shoe at Pentecost. They don't want Holy Ghost move of God. Come on now. I was working at Joe Harry Rowland's fish house in Georgia. And there was a woman there working. And I told this over to Brother Mike Maxson. And I think, I went in there one day, and man, she ripped the Pentecostal folks' head off, mocking us and making fun of us. So I said, hey, wait a minute, I'm Pentecost. And she said, oh, you are? She said, well, I guess if you want to be like that, it's all right. I mean, she really didn't have no backbone about it. Come on now, she wanted to talk about holiness folk or Pentecostal folk as long as it wasn't one that she was talking to. Come on now, I'm holiness, friend, but I believe in Pentecost, don't you? I've been in some churches, they were scared to say amen. You're not, are you? Let me borrow an amen. Come on now, they're scared to lift their hands up and let God move. Well, I done felt the Holy Ghost here, and I know I'm not in a church this morning that does not want to move of God. I'm among holiness folk that love for God to move. Come on now. I said I'm among holiness folk that don't mind the power of God falling.
Come on now.
Amen. He said, I don't want what you got. I don't want to be in that lineage. Look what the man threw away. I feel sorry for movements that don't believe in Pentecost. I feel sorry for what they're throwing away. And even more than that, I feel sorry for people in holiness churches that do not diligently seek the full blessings of God. Come on now. I feel sorry for them. Because they do not know what they are missing. Amen. Well, they got married, had a child, everything was going great. They were so happy. Well, one morning, Sister Ruth got up and she said, I think I'll take a walk. Come on, Sister Ruth, walk with me. And she got out the front door and went to walking. And she walked and she was looking at the sunshine and looking at the birds and everything was going great. And about that time, she ended up in a corner of that old field. And it was harvest time. And they was out there reaping. Some of the gleaners were back at work again. Some of the widows in the country. Some of them remembered Ruth. They looked at Sister Ruth and greeted her and said, have you come back to glean today? Are you back to work where you used to work? And Sister Ruth looked at the field and thought a moment. She said, no. No. I don't think I'll glean today. And they said, you sure? She said, wait a minute, you don't understand something. See, I don't have to glean in this field no more. Because see, I married Boaz. And Boaz owns this field. And now I'm a part owner in it. I don't have to glean here no more. I don't have to come in and beg and plead and just beg on my knees for something anymore. Because I own this field. I want you to let me preach to you just a little while. You see, we have a misconception of things in the house of God. Many of us come to church like we are beggars and paupers. And we forget that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And see, I was espoused to one when I got saved. And Jesus Christ is coming after me for long. And when I came into the house of prayer this morning, I was not walking on strange territory. You hear me? I was in my Father's field. Come on now. For you see, the devil did not buy this carpet. And the devil did not put that sheetrock on the wall. And he did not buy these padded pews. And he does not pay the light bill. And he does not pay the pastor's salary. And he does not help me in my sicknesses, in my illnesses. So, brother, I did not come into the devil's house, but I came into my Father's house. Come on now. And, brother, this is my field. Come on now. I said, this is my field. I don't have to walk in here wringing my hands and saying, God, would you help me? But I can walk in my field and say, God, I'm here. This is your field. Sister Kathy McDonald, it ain't nobody's down the road. This don't belong to the devil. This is your field. That's right. This belongs to you. Brother Shad, this is your field. For every one of us, to the smallest child, to the elders of the church, from the deacons, to the Sunday school teachers, to that one that never says nothing in church, but lays that dollar in the offering every service. It's your field. I said, it's your field. And you've got a right. I said, you've got a right to harvest. You've got a right to harvest in God's field. The devil defeats us many times. Hear me. Long before God begins to move, the enemy defeats us. He tells us, brother, that you can't have nothing this morning. I mean, it ain't for you. It's for somebody else. And he plays a mind game with us. And he defeats us long before we ever get in the altars. And long before God ever helps us. You hearing me? And all the move of God that's there is for us. But the devil tells us that it's not for us. Come on now. And he makes us come in and glean just a little bit here and a little bit there when there's a bunker crop. Come on now. I said when there's a bunker crop, when the power of God's moving in the house of God and God's there to heal and to mend broken hearts and to get a hold of that mind that's oppressed. But the devil tells us, come on now. I say, come on now. He tells us you can't have it. You ain't going to get it. But I'm here to tell you right now, this is your field. Oh, yeah. And oh, it's so sad. After that, we have labored, brethren. We've planted and plowed. We've laid the seed in the ground. And we've fasted and prayed and sought the face of God. I'm through with you. And we've done all of that. We put all of the effort in it. We got up on Sunday morning. We were ready. We made sure that we studied the Sunday school lesson. We made sure we was at church on time. And of all the plowing and planting and all the labor we've done, after we get there, we let the devil stop us right when we're about to reap our harvest. Are you hearing me? Come on now. And time again, you're going home dry and empty because of one reason. Not because it ain't there in the field, brother. Not because your pastor didn't preach what you needed. Not because you didn't feel your heart stirred. But because you was defeated long before it came time for you to receive. How do you know? Because I've been done the same way. You hear me? For you see, it is the will of God that you harvest. Now listen, I know you're going to go through seasons of gleanings. God wants it that way. He wants a proven and a tried people. And there's going to be some times when you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. But then there's going to be some times when you're going to have the windows of heaven open up. I've really been going through something lately. And this morning I got up and set my clock. I come in here and was praying this morning. And after I got through praying, I went in to the office and made me a pot of coffee. And I was sitting there reading my Bible. And about that time, I mean, I was just reading a scripture. It was nothing big, Brother Shad, for us, some great revelation in what I was reading. Yeah, but all of a sudden, God fell upon me sitting there. And I mean, brother, from nowhere. You hearing me? From nowhere, I went from gleaning to harvesting. My soul just flooded over. The fountains of my eyes just opened up. And tears began to flow down my cheeks. And I looked up, and there's some things I've been praying about. All of a sudden, just like a light was shining on me, Sister Kathy, and I knew God's fist to move. How do you know? I don't know. It just came to me. I mean, it wasn't a great thundering voice. Lightning didn't flash, and a man of God didn't say, God told me to tell you this, but all of a sudden, I just knew. I mean, I just knew God's fist to move. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I knew God is on the move. Come on now. And I'm here to tell you right now,
in the house of prayer. God, I said, God is on the move. God's moving for somebody. Come on now. God's moving for somebody this morning.
Do you feel like the field belongs to somebody else? Do you feel like they're always getting it? Have you ever felt that way? Here I am going through it, and every time they come to church, they're getting a hold of it. How come Sister So-and-so can get it, and I can't? How come Brother So-and-so can cry through every song, and I can't even shed a tear? You ever felt that way? How come they're always harvesting and I never seem to stop gleaning? I want to stand to your feet right now. Feel like the Lord is through this morning. Come on, wife, and play something. I'm going to tell you this and we're going to pray. There's a man I know, and he is a dear friend to me, and I am not jealous at all. God forbid. But he can buy a used truck for $1,000. Drive it a year and a year later sell it for two. He never comes out smelling bad and nothing. I could have bought the same truck for $1,000 and the engine would have blew up next week. Come on now. That's just the difference in what happens to him and me. But it seems like he never goes astray. Come on now. And it seems like I forever battle getting anything right. But I realize God is ever helping me. You hear me? And through all of my battles and trials and troubles, tribulations, I'm watching God's hand. You hearing me? I'm watching God work and do things like I've never seen before. No, somebody else may not be giving you much hope, but I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm giving you all the hope in the world because God's moving for you. And if God be for us, then who can stand against us? Huh? I wonder this morning, say, brother, I've been coming to church service after service after service, and it seems like all I can do is just get enough to make it another service. What about it? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You're not backslid. You're just going through something. You ain't going to get any help till you admit you need it. What about it? Is that where you're at this morning? Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand with Brother Johnson. Right now. Come on. Thank God. Anybody else won't admit it? That's where I'm at, brother. Thank God, few hands, few honest hearts. That's where I'm at, preacher. Come to church and it seems like I glean just a little bit out of every part. But I can't never get all that I want. How about it? Huh? Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if you just stepped in God's field this morning and you got everything you was looking for, huh? Not just gleaning, friend. But I'm talking about get your vessel full this morning. We had a service one time at Shady Grove where I was pastoring at, and I don't know how I got off on having your cup filled. But I told them that morning, I said, why don't you bring back a cup tonight if you want it full? There's an older lady there, came back that night, brother. She had a bucket. She didn't come. Everybody walked in, some with a coffee cup, some with a plastic glass, you know, different items. But this one woman comes walking in with a bucket now, of all things. She didn't come just to get touched. I mean, when I told them come back with something to get full with, and I mean, totally symbolic, may sound crazy, but felt like telling them that. I mean, and she got it full that night. You hear me? She wasn't coming for gleaning. She was coming for a move of God. When's the last time you come with faith in your heart and said, God, I'm not believing you for a gleaning. I'm not believing in you for just a touch, but I came to get everything you meant for me to have. Oh, these altars are open right now. If you want God to help you, come. Everybody would you come? Stand, kneel, ever how you pray around here. Come and let's pray. If you're going through something right now, I'm here to tell you God's here to help you. God's here to give you everything you need. He'll give it to you, friend. He will give it to you. Hallelujah. Listen to my wife while she sings this morning. Amen. 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 God, I'm tired of gleaning. I'm tired of just getting a little. God, I want you to give me all I need this morning. Fill me up, God. Give me a blessing that when I wake up Monday morning, I can still feel refreshed. That I can still feel light and lifted up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hey, friend, this is your field. Come on now. I said, this is your field. This field doesn't belong to any one person. It's all our field. Come on now. This church doesn't belong to one individual. It belongs to all of us.